This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
He steps down for the second time as Auburn University's president today. Dr. Jay Gooch came back to his alma mater in July of 2007. He retired the first time 10 years later. When asked to serve as a president for the second time, Dr. Gooch said yes. Each time he dealt with a crisis, in 2007, a recession, in 2020, a pandemic. He had stops at Texas A&M, Clemson, Utah State, Houston, and New Mexico State, all with his wife Susie by his side. Now, Dr. Gooch gives way to Dr. Christopher Roberts, former dean of the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering. Dr. Jay Gooch is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. A bittersweet Talking Tigers podcast today as we say goodbye to Dr. Jay Gooch as the president at Auburn University. Not once, but twice as the president at Auburn University. Of course, he will be stepping down in his role, and Dr. Chris Roberts will be taking over as Auburn's brand new president. And I just wanted to spend some time with Dr. Gooch on his way out, so to speak. So, War Eagle, good to have you with us
today.
War
Eagle, great to be with you, Andy.
What goes through your mind as you're about to exit for a second time?
A lot of fun, to be very honest. You meet so many wonderful people, students, alumni, community leaders. Those are the things that you always will miss, that you don't see them on an everyday basis. And so, but the people is what makes the job, the role exciting.
Mayor Ron Anders has been on this podcast before, and he talked about the town and gown relationship. It is not always a guarantee that the two sides will cooperate with each other. That certainly has been the case, though, and for a number of years, regardless of the president, regardless of the mayor, these two entities have worked together and worked together very, very well.
I agree. When I came in 2007, and I would argue that the relationships were very good on arrival, so I did not have anything to do with trying to change or convert or whatever. They were good, and we had a great relationship. I think there's healthy respect. The university knows that for us to attract students and the faculty and the folks we need to run a university, the community has to be strong. And at the same time, I think the community probably realizes that the university is an important asset to the community. So it's been a really symbiotic relationship for many, many decades. And I just think about the investments the city has made in the university. I mean, everything from tennis courts to the research park to the museums to the performing arts centers to a whole variety of things. And so feel very, very good. And you're right. There are town and gown relations in certain places that are probably not as strong as they ought to be.
Your second tenure as president at Auburn, each time you've come to Auburn, in the first year, you and your administration have dealt with a crisis.
Well, it's interesting. I always tell people, I said, we came in 2007, and within 6 months was the meltdown, the financial crisis that was going on in the country. And when I came back this time, within 6 months, we were in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. And I don't need to come back ever again because, when you have those kind of events, and they're not regular events, obviously, is that you really appreciate the kind of people that work at Auburn, kind of people in the community. Their ability to understand and their ability to try to move forward with the mission of the university under difficult times. And so I'm just so fortunate to have been at a university during the times that they occurred and had the people that we had here.
What did you learn, especially during this second time as president, during the COVID pandemic? Listen, recessions have come and gone before. Yeah. This was something incredibly unique, and you were going through it along with all of us for the first time.
Well, I guess what you learned or what amazed me was the ability for people to pivot and to be adaptable when there really wasn't any other choice. you know, as an administration, to be very honest, we did not have any great ball up there that told us exactly what the outcome or what would happen. And so you ask people to trust. You ask people to try. We only had a really one principle, and that was take care of your people, try to keep the mission of the university going, and try to do it in concert with the governance groups that we have. Work with the faculty, the students, and the staff of the university for at least to make sure there's clarity in terms of what we're trying to do. And they did a marvelous job. We didn't try to come in with really heavy-handed rules because, you know, when you think about Auburn University, we're in every county of the state. And we have experimental farms and demonstration sites and 4-H centers. And the clientele and the approach will be somewhat different in each of those locations versus what they might be just on a campus. So tried to be even-handed in it, and I would give people a lot of credit. They use good judgment.
What you and the administration and everyone on this campus have been through since 2020 will now be the reference point moving forward if something like this happens again.
Not only Auburn, but all universities, sure. We learn quite a bit about ourselves and the way to try to approach things. Yeah, I don't disagree at all. It'll be fascinating. Hope we don't have to deal with these again, but it appears that COVID is still out there. Our physicians continue to tell us, don't forget, we're still in a worldwide pandemic. And so there's still impacts and still things that are going to happen. And so I am very comfortable with Chris Roberts and the new group. They'll give great thought and judgment, and we'll do the best that we know how to do at Auburn.
You mentioned the extension that covers the entire state. I know that's near and dear to your heart as far as what those folks do in each of these counties, because that's kind of where you came from, isn't it?
It is. They use the term extension because the idea is to, how do you extend the knowledge, the power, the information from a land-grant university like Auburn? How do you extend it into every county within this state to have its greatest impact? And so people often ask me, you know, you've got a degree in plant science or horticulture, they call it different things at different universities, and how does that relate to what you do now? I always tell them, I say, well, you know, in those plant science areas, you spend a bit of time studying grass, you spend a bit of time studying trees, and, you know, trees and watching them grow, that really sort of teaches you patience. And when you look at grass and you have to mow that stuff, that sort of teaches you the ability to work constantly to try to deal with it. So really patience and a little bit of constance into it are both important in trying to provide some leadership.
A bachelor's degree and a master's degree from Auburn.
Yes.
Your doctorate from Michigan State.
Correct.
In horticulture.
Correct.
Came to Auburn from Waycross, Georgia.
Yes.
Did you come to Auburn with the idea that initially horticulture would be your avenue of study?
I had grown up in that field. But when I came here, I really, you know, those greenhouses are hot in South Georgia in the summertime. And so my goal was to try to figure out a way to go into a major that you might be in an air-conditioned building. And I had some relatives that were pharmacists. And I thought, when I first came, I thought that'd be a real good approach to take. But as I was here and as I began to take courses, the area that I knew the most about made it a little bit more reasonable for me to get through Auburn. So that's why I went over and chose the degree that I did.
Why Auburn?
I'm a first-generation college person, but I had grandparents that lived in Arkansas. And so when you drive from South Georgia going to Arkansas, you'd drive through Auburn, Opelika. So it was, from my perspective, it was the only college I really had ever seen. And so I thought, well, this would be a great place to go. And so that plus South Georgia at the time, a number of folks from down there went to Auburn. It was probably closer to Auburn than it was to Athens for many of them. So it was a great choice for us, and so we're delighted we came.
I've talked to a number of folks when I was doing a radio show, and you were my guest on that show, and in this role now, folks that came to Auburn as an undergrad and maybe left Auburn but have come back to Auburn. And your route is a little bit different, but the outcome is the same. Mm-hmm. You've come back to your alma mater to serve as president, not once, but twice. And this is where you and your lovely wife, Miss Susie, will be residing as well.
Correct. Auburn has a special pull to, I think, anybody that goes here. I mean, I think every once in a while about old David Ousel's comment. If you hadn't really been here, understand it, know it, it's hard to know the pull, the reason you're here. But when I look at a progressive community, I look at really very positive public schools compared to a lot of areas in the country. Great university, a lot of excitement on a daily basis, the number of different things that a person could do or be involved in. When I look at our medical care facilities in the area, when you look at our law enforcement, all that, they handle the tenor of that with the college community in a very respectful way. And so this is a great community, a great state, so we're proud to be here.
When did you have the first notion about administration as a next step in your career?
I actually went to work right out of graduate school with a federal agency. It is in that federal agency that if you supervise people, you had to go through management courses. And so that was the first time that even at every level of supervision, you had to do it. So sort of related to it early in my career that I thought this was kind of interesting. And I spent some time at Texas A&M. Probably the dominant place was at Clemson. And it was basically the president at that time one day called me in and said, "Hey, I think you ought to think about senior level administration." And so it was a mentor for me.
What was your reaction to that?
I was real happy doing exactly what I was doing, so I didn't really think much about it. But he spent about a year working with me each week and sent me to other universities. I went to Ohio State, Cornell, and several to talk with those people, and it was helpful. And I just, at the end of the day, I decided, you know, it'd be something that I would like to try. And so I went from working on federal agency to vice president for research, and from that role into provost and then presidencies.
Research is such a key area at Auburn as a land-grant university, the continuing research, whatever the field here.
Well, it's always exciting. And I guess during the time as a VP for research, part of the reason I like it is highly measurable. You know, every single year, it's almost like an athletic program. You know, based on the numbers, how well you're doing, both either in publications or how well you're doing in grants money that comes in and support money. So it's highly measurable. You can tell if you're making progress. And I would just give the faculty at Auburn a lot of credit. We, over the last decade or so, the research publications, the amount of money we bring in, all of that has grown. And in areas where money's not the metric, and there are many areas on a college campus in which money and grants and contracts are not the metric, we have seen a lot of growth in the what I'd call the scholarship areas of our faculty. And so to me, yes, very proud of that.
What does the research park, what advantage does that give Auburn moving forward, Dr. Gush?
The research park is a great opportunity for us to take ideas and processes that occur within our faculty and our students and to do the necessary husbandry, if you will, with those ideas to bring them up to the stage where they may actually become a company. They may become a piece of intellectual property that's purchased by someone else, but to stimulate economic development through our own. Another purpose of the research parks is to recruit and bring in various companies that often are here because they want to have a relationship with either academic departments or with students to be engaged in their work because they use it as an extended interview period to decide who they want to hire for their companies. And so it's a great symbiotic relationship. Typically, research parks, the jobs that are in it are high paying, they're good jobs, so they help in the community, and certainly that's been the case with the research park here.
When you had stepped down the first time, I was talking with former Auburn Mayor Bill Hamm, and he talked about your ability and your expertise with regard to working with the city at that time as far as bringing businesses to the city of Auburn.
I've had an opportunity to serve on what they call the Industrial Development Board right. for the city, and it's fascinating to me. It's a strong group, and Philip Dunlap and his group do a marvelous job. In fact, they would be a prime asset in any community anywhere in this country. They just do a phenomenal job of bringing companies in, and I would just encourage all of our folks in the community sometime ride out Veterans Boulevard and just have a look at what's out there in terms of the Auburn Industrial Park. You'll be impressed.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama. Dr. Gouge, when the Board of Trustees came to you back in July of 2019 mm-hmm. and asked you to serve as the interim president, of course it became full-time president again. What was it? What was your initial reaction to that?
Be happy to.
Yeah.
And in fairness to them, my guess is they probably thought it would be 3 or 4 months when they asked. And then we got into the COVID situation rather quickly. And so they probably put up with me longer than they anticipated they'd have to. But it was, when your alma mater calls you and says, hey, can you come back for a little bit? You know you're going to say yes. You're going to do that. So I was delighted to come back. I had hoped that everything would have been wonderful when I left the first time. And I've made it a point never to go in and be involved in that period of time in which I hear all kind of things. I don't pay any attention to them. My job is to come back and just try to move forward from where we were.
You've worked with some extraordinary people mm-hmm. at Sanford Hall that have helped you and helped mm-hmm. Auburn University. I wish you would talk about a couple of those folks that are...
I'll have to tell you, it was when I first came, it was so easy because there was a brain trust that was in Sanford Hall that was incredible. You had Lee Armstrong, the general counsel, that... I don't know, he'd been there forever and knew all the subtleties of what the law said and what the law really meant and what we ought to do and what we tried and not tried. So that was a phenomenal asset to have. Then you had Grant Davis that had been in the board secretary's role for, I don't know, a number of years, knew the trustees, knew the policies of the universities, and had worked for a long time over in student services and sort of had a flavor of whatever. So Grant was the kind of person that, you know, if the roof on Sanford was off, he would not be excited about that because he'd seen everything happen in student services before. So phenomenal guy. And then the guy that Don Large, the executive vice president, was just incredible. We always called him Dr. No because the guy with the money never said yes when you first went in, but had managed the financial part of the university in a way that I have to tell you, in being at 6 or 7 different universities, no one did the finances quite like Don did. So great group of people on campus, great folks there, and basically left them alone, let them do their jobs.
You've come back a second time, and it's a different cast mm-hmm. of folks, but they're doing the same work, aren't they?
They are. Very good people from the legal side. A new attorney came in, bright, capable, Jamie Hammer, doing excellent work, easy to work with. A person on her staff became the secretary to the board, John Wagner, mm-hmm. and John's been very active, almost like Grant, with student-related activities and knows the university and knows the history and the culture. And then Ron Burgess, General Burgess, we actually hired to be involved in cybersecurity and obviously very strong military background. He's come in and has done a super job on implementing things. I've jokingly said you have to be careful with the general. If I say, you know, my carpet looks bad, by that afternoon, somebody's running around there and they're cleaning it. And he doesn't enjoy the process. I mean, we would have normally on something like that, we would have a team of people look at the carpet to see how it looks. Then we'd probably survey other schools to find out how often they clean the carpet. And then we'd probably go out and bid somebody and look at it. And then we'd have to decide, you know, the cleaning may have environmental or human type issues that we're concerned about. So about 6 months or a year later, we'd clean the carpet. So you have to be careful. He's an implementer. He's very good.
When you were hired, I remember the first interview that we did. And one of the things you said, you were going to go on a listening tour.
Yeah.
What was the benefit? What did you learn from that, Dr. Gouge?
Well, I was taught in graduate school to hit the ground listening as opposed to hit the ground running. So I always enjoy when I read that a new person's been hired and they're going to hit the ground running. We were taught that you'd be smart to spend some time listening, try to understand situations, try to understand people, listen to what is an issue. And part of that is that at any university, and I assume it's probably true in any organization, but we've got about 5,200 colleges and universities in the country, and every one of them will have their own unique culture, tradition, values, and history. And you need to be respectful of those. You can make some changes in parts of it down the road, but you can't make changes in the history, the values, tradition, and culture on day one. So listening is important to determine what's possible, what do we need to change, and if we need to change.
What did it mean to you to come back to your alma mater that first time?
In higher ed, as a general rule, you are not hired by the schools you graduate from. That's just sort of, you want different ideas, so you just typically don't see that. And so as an entire career in higher ed, I did not think about coming back. I just didn't think about it because typically they don't hire people that graduated from their institution. And so it was a real, I don't want to say shock, but it was real interesting when I had an opportunity to talk with some of the board while I was out at Houston, and they encouraged me to be a candidate here, and I was honored just to be a candidate. So it was one of those things, again, that you don't harp on, think about, but when it actually happens, you say, wow, this is really kind of neat. I was not a great student at Auburn compared to a lot of the people I know. And so this is quite interesting, quite good.
Where'd you meet Susie?
We both grew up in the same little hometown in Waycross.
Okay.
And so met her in the eighth grade, and we've been married now 50-some years. I can't remember the exact number, but 50-some.
What has she meant to your career?
You know, she's been willing to move, and a lot of people don't want to change locations, but been willing to move and go. And she has a lot more social graces than I do. She remembers names better than I do, and she gives guidance occasionally, but very important guidance. And so I can truthfully tell you that without her sort of guiding, particularly the events and the activities that we have, I wouldn't be able to do that. So just absolutely critical in the fundraising aspects of the universities, the stewardship aspects of fundraising, the interaction with people. So just a real asset.
And like you, she has 2 degrees from Auburn.
She does.
Yeah. What's next for you and Susie?
You know, you're so busy that you don't actually think much about it. We'll probably spend a little time going on vacation, but Auburn will be our home. We'll be back here. I mean, I got to be here in time for the first football game. Got to watch basketball. So, and we're into baseball and softball right now. So we're busy, and it's a fair question. But to be honest, you really don't think much about it to the time, because you look at what you got to do, what's the next activity, what's the next thing on your agenda that day.
You think she's thought about it?
When people ask her and we're out, she says, yes, I know the day. So I think she's thought about it.
You bring up athletics. What has been your philosophy with regard to the presidency and athletics at Auburn University?
I guess, you know, you base it on your mentors that I had. And I mentioned Clemson, and the person that was the mentor there advised me to don't be in player locker rooms, don't be down on the sidelines, don't be engaged in the way. And that was partly done because the previous person at that university went to all the practices, was at every locker room after every game and whatever. And so I was sort of advised and encouraged to meet with coaches before the season of play, meet with coaches after their season of play, leave them alone during their season of play, and basically be a fan, be a supporter, try to help the athletic director, try to encourage all your teams to do well, but to not be in the day-to-day management of athletics.
You've been there, though, for the games. Mm-hmm. I remember vividly when I was doing women's basketball. I knew exactly where you and the family sat. And you were there, not just for the big games. You were there to watch women's basketball. You were there for men's basketball, baseball, softball. It's still been an important part, and I would guess will continue to be an important part for you.
Absolutely. It's just, again, it goes back to the way you were guided, if you will. You try to make sure if you're going to go to the men's basketball games, you go to the women's basketball games. If you're going to baseball, you need to also be at softball. To try to balance your time between those, go to the equestrian events, go to the gymnastics events, go to the events and support the kids, but try to stay out of the day-to-day operations of athletic. I always make the joke that I don't hire and fire coaches. My job is to hire and fire athletic directors. And so you want the ADs to own their athletic program.
What did it mean to you and Susie when the new Fine Arts Center was named in your honor?
Well, we tried to get the major donors to name it for one of their own relatives or one of their own or themselves, and they didn't. So it was quite an honor. Obviously an honor for something like that, a gorgeous building, something very different for our community. So love it. I go to as many of the events as we possibly can, and I'm always amazed at the diversity of events.
Right.
Everything from country and western to opera to dance to whatever. And so it's an extremely important part of our community, and Susie and I both are honored that it was so done.
I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you were to give one piece of advice to Dr. Roberts, who's coming in, what would it be?
You know, I've said before, don't mess it up, but I would just say be authentic, be your own person, and I know he will.
Right.
Use judgment. You know, most of the decisions that have to be made, 95% of them are pretty straightforward. The 5% are the ones that require some judgment. Pay attention to the critic, people that criticize what you're doing. I would say their batting average may not be very good, but occasionally they have very good, important ideas that, you know, we ought to implement. So those are the kind of things that we've talked about.
I ask this question almost every podcast of a former Auburn student athlete or perhaps a coach. So I will ask you this one as well. What has Auburn University, what has the community of Auburn meant to Jay Gouge?
Growing up in a small community, coming to what is almost a cosmopolitan community, I think about the life as in 1965 when I came, I learned an awful lot from other students, awful lot. Second thing I learned was that faculty here cared about you and really guided you and gave you advice, not which course to take so much, but it was lifetime guidance and advice. And throughout a career, what Auburn means to me is you have to figure out ways to give back. When I think about what a university is, it's a noble cause to me. The only purpose of a university is to help people achieve their hopes and dreams. And that means, the students, but it means the people that we serve through extension offices in every one of these counties, small farmers that want to do something. It means through our government affairs program, working with mayors and city leaders, they want to make their cities better. So how can we help them? So, and then how do we help our own people that work at the university? How do we help them achieve their hopes and dreams? So to me, you first of all, you get help and assistance, and then because of Auburn, later on you figure out you have an obligation to try to give back.
Thank you for the time that you've given. Certainly thank you for your service and the sacrifice to this university and this community. I'm thrilled to know that you and Susie will still be here after your tenure is over, and I certainly appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Andy. War Eagle.
For Dr. Jay Gouge and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.